T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Fantastic to be here with you guys. Friday Eve edition of the show. We share with you this each and every week. One of my favorite segments of the week out of 80 is our sit down every single Thursday, this time with 24/7 Sports National Director of Video. I'll tell you what this makes me feel like. It's like when you get in on a stock right before a stock explodes, and you're just sitting there counting your cash, counting your straight cash, homie. That's what I feel like right now, because this guy's blowing up, man, and he's quickly being recognized as one of the best college football minds in the country. 24/7 Sports scooped him up. We scooped him up for a weekly segment here at 4 p.m. each and every week, and Josh Pate joins us right now on the line. Josh, if you're looking for an agent, I'm available.
Yeah, seriously, I'm just happy to contribute to the market in some shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, buddy. So the ACC yesterday, Josh, I was listening to some of your thoughts on this last night. Were you surprised that we got that news so swiftly? I was almost worried, Josh, that this was going to be a very, very dire-sounding show tomorrow if they had voted down college football. What a pleasant surprise to get the reverse.
Yeah, it was pleasant, and it was a surprise that we got what we got, and I'll tell you the reason. We had had it sort of expressed to us no more than 4 or 5 hours earlier not to expect anything released. But then you start to get word that, oh, the SEC is possibly going this route. So the ACC and John Swofford just said, hey, whatever, let's just release it, like with a snap of the fingers. Got these pretty graphics made up. Let's just put it out there. And I know a lot's been made of, well, who's forcing whose hand, and really – I don't get the sense that fans care nearly as much about that as writers and we do, quite frankly. They just care about the games. And so now you know who's going to play who. You don't know quite when yet. But, yeah, it surprised me in that way. And then I was sort of looking up and down trying to figure out, well, who are the winners, who are the losers here? And I don't know that there were too many surprises. I think the one thing that I really loved that they did, at least for 1 year, is they got rid of the division format, since things are already going to be turned upside down. Let's just take the two best teams, because what that does is prevents you from saying, all right, who's got to play in Clemson's division, and how many good teams that could contend in the other division just happen to be parked with Clemson and won't have a shot. So now we get Clemson, Notre Dame in the regular season, could have them again in the ACC title game, but I'm very glad that they went that route. I don't think that's the route the SEC will go, nor do I necessarily think they need to. But I am glad the ACC went that route.
Yeah, it really looks more like a soccer table now, doesn't it? Like the English Premier League. We'll take the top two teams, get to go play in the Champions League when the regular season is over. So that's cool. Josh, you don't know this about me. I've been engaged twice, never married. I've been left twice before the altar, and I am not getting engaged again unless the third time is going to be what a ring symbolizes for me. If I put a ring on the finger, that is my commitment to get married, right? That is my philosophy. I was engaged to two women in my life who looked at it like a trial period. What we heard yesterday from the ACC, is it a trial period or is it a commitment to play?
Somewhere in between. Still trial period, because there is no somewhere in between. It's either commitment or not, if we're using that analogy. And so I think it has elements of both, but it's still a trial in the sense that they put some parameters out there that to the common fan who doesn't follow this stuff at a granular level, seems like, oh, they're kind of tiptoeing and they're leaving things really open-ended. But really, when you say you can still have out-of-conference games, they just have to be in your state, it's not really open-ended. We understand exactly what's happening there. So I think they're marrying themselves to one of two possible routes. And in, you know, some civilizations, that's encouraged. So we got a couple of marriages here, Mark, but I think that they're – is more than just a spoken bond. Like, I think that they've done more than just taking these two scenarios out to a nice Italian restaurant. They're in a little bit further than that at this point.
I need the commitment, Josh. I'm not doing it. You got to make the commitment, man. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying completely. So with all of that said, when will we hear a pseudo-commitment from the rest of the leagues?
That is what I'm looking at the screen right in front of me for. That is day to day. You know, like I told you yesterday, we had people very reputable, people involved in the decision-making process at the ACC league office just flat out say, yeah, I probably won't get anything today. And then we get something that day. So having understood how very fluid the entire situation is right now, we pretty well expect something from the Pac-12 Friday. We think that something could come from the SEC really as early as today, possibly Friday, but there's also many shades of gray with them. It's like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall to get a definitive answer because there isn't one to be had. With the Big 12, they have the most patience because their league schedule is pretty much already set. The one thing that, you know, we've been talking about a lot with the Big 12, and we were talking about it in this morning's meeting, is if they add conference games, you know, if they go with a 10-game conference schedule, well, that means that they're adding teams. Well, by default, you know, I don't know that people have thought this through. That means someone out there is playing Oklahoma twice. Now, who wants to explain to someone, they got to play Kansas twice, you played Oklahoma twice, and that's just the way it is, Bruce Hornsby style. So I don't know that that's going to go over very well. And with the Big Ten, Chicago Tribune has been pretty well on top of that. I think early next week from the Big Ten. I would say, Mark, that I'd be surprised if you and I were speaking this time next week and we didn't have something from every league office by then.
And do you expect the something from every league office will be a schedule? Do you expect that we will not be hearing that one league is not going to play?
I think that we will get that, yeah. The one you would worry about, I think, would be the Pac-12.
Yes.
And ironically, that's been the one over the past few days that we've been pretty confident in having nailed down as much certainty as you can have a timeline as to when we're going to get a schedule from them. So they seem to be pretty far along. You know, they have things that operate a little bit differently out there. They are much more crisis firm, PR based, take as much responsibility out of my hands as possible and get it done and just bring it back to me and put it on my desk. So that means there are a lot of leaks, and that means there's a lot of information to be had. And the information that we've gotten is, feel pretty good about Friday. Don't know when, maybe working after hours Friday, but feel pretty good about Friday with them. So, yeah, I think we'll get some form of a schedule. Now, here's where the shades of gray come in again. With the SEC, there are a few holdout programs down here. Some geographically are close to you, some aren't, but there are certain programs that are holdouts, not to the degree that they don't want to play the season. It's when they want to start the season. And that's why you got some folks who want to start it as normal. You got some who want to wait until late September, early October. I don't know how you release a schedule, but don't release the date the season's going to start when the earliest possible date would mean as teams are opening camps, hey, you're going to play a month from now, or you're going to play 2 months from now. I'm not sure how you shake all that out. And that's a lot of reason why we haven't heard anything definitive from the SEC yet.
You know, Josh, when I prep for this interview each and every week with you, I look at your Twitter, see what you're talking about, and that is one of the things that I saw, that the SEC is looking at perhaps late September all the way to an October 10th start. I suppose you can do that if 10 of your 11 games, if the other conferences follow the model of the ACC. I suppose it doesn't really matter, you know, provided that everyone's ready to go for whatever bowl season we're going to have or playoff come January. But it just strikes me a little funny that we wouldn't all get started at the same time. Are you picking up that the SEC will not be targeting September 12th like the ACC?
I think they want to target that. I don't think they have a a large enough consensus to target that right now. And the aggravating part to folks like us and to fans is, as I've told you for about a month and a half, I don't necessarily think mountains of data and medical research are what are going into this. Sadly, I think a lot of the sentiment in the room is, well, let's let the NFL start. Let's let some other league start, and let's see how they do, and let's see if there are any perception hits to be taken and PR hits to be taken. Let's let them be at the forefront, and then we'll learn from their mistakes, and then we'll launch. And you know what? That's great if you're building a fort for your five-year-old, but you're running an entire league office, and leadership is part of your job title and those six figures and seven figures behind your salary. And so you would hope that you would have people ready to step to the forefront and make decisions that are at least in line with what other informed people are doing across the country. I don't know that they have that kind of consensus. It's not that everyone agrees they want to push it back. In fact, most don't want to push it back, but enough influential people are dragging their feet that this is where we sit.
Josh, the question I get asked more often than anybody, it's very basic, but more often than any other, is Mark, are we going to have college football, and how's it going to work? And, you know, I was even talking to Josh Pate, Josh Pate's number one fan, Mr. Ryan, last night. I mean, he was getting into this with me a little bit. And Josh, I continue to be surprised that we're not yet hearing more universities go toward e-learning and virtual learning, et cetera. Let's get this straight. That is the number one priority, the education of students, institution of higher learning. We all can agree on that, right? You don't do this because of college football. You do this for the safety of the students. But you and I are in sports, Josh, and I don't see how South Carolina is going to play or Clemson is going to play when the football players are walking and sitting in classrooms amongst a 46,000 and 28,000 strong student body, respectively. How can this work, Josh? It's not going to work if we do that.
You're right, and it's one of those deals where, you know, sometimes if there's a mess on your hands and it's late at night, sometimes you'll just go to sleep and hope that it's rectified itself by morning time. This is one of those deals that I am closing my eyes and pushing off to the side continuously and hoping rectifies itself. But there is no feasible way. I mean, the reason why we keep getting these great results from most of Major League Baseball and all the other sports leagues is because of the bubble aspect. And the only real way to have that in college athletics is if you have empty campuses. Now, what is surprising to me is you got places like Harvard, of all institutions, that have long since made the decision, and they're not alone, have made the decision to go to e-learning. Now, I'd be grade A pissed off at me having to pay full tuition to learn on a computer, but you and I are in the sports field. And as far as sports are related, hey, if Harvard's done it, then we'll do it. And we'll also ensure that we have a safe campus, a bubble, so to speak. We don't have to call it that, but a bubble that exists to maintain the health and sanctity that is conducive to keeping kids eligible, and not just eligible from a grade standpoint, but eligible from a health standpoint. And we don't all of a sudden have a Miami Marlins situation at the University of Tennessee or Georgia or South Carolina, because that doesn't just affect those programs. That sends a ripple effect everywhere. And you're kind of counting on everyone to be on board here and do their part. 60% buy-in doesn't work.
Completely. And you either have to have everyone on e-learning, or if you do have students on campus, you have to have the football players taking their classes in the football facility. You have to create the bubble if the students are on campus. I'm just becoming increasingly alarmed that we're not hearing more plans from major universities. It's just, no, students back on campus. I'm really, really surprised by that. Josh, what college coach would you most and least like to play for? You look like you could play college football, by the way.
Well, looks are part of it. Unfortunately, that's not all that goes into it. Who would I love to play for right now? I think an obvious answer would be Nick Saban. Another one I'd love to play for. I get the feeling, especially if I grew up in Louisiana, like, would you not run through a brick wall and then some for Ed Orgeron?
Well, we're going to play in a pasture at midnight, right?
Absolutely. And listen, I only halfway think the guy's joking. I'm doing something on LSU tonight. You know, it's kind of a sidetrack here, but you know, this time last year, there's perception and reality. And perception was LSU's not going to overturn their offense overnight. I don't care what this guy keeps him hawing about at the podium. They're not going to do that. And then they did it. So now it's the same deal with their defense. Everyone thought Dave Aranda was great, one of the best coordinators in America, and they get rid of him. Well, they didn't get rid of him. He took a head coaching job. And Bo Pelini comes in after having not been a coordinator for over a decade, and everyone thinks, you're not going to lose Dave Aranda and improve your defense. Well, Ed Orgeron is adamant they're going to improve their defense. And so it's like, I learned my lesson last year. I'm not going to question him, even if I don't see it. I'm not going to question him. So I'd love to play for Ed Orgeron. The ones I wouldn't like to play for, I don't get the sense that if I were at Texas right now, I would look at Tom Herman and say, that's the guy that's going to lead me to where I want to be in my career. But it's still early in his tenure still there. So I could be wrong about that. And Chip Kelly at UCLA, too, has not struck me as the kind of guy that would inspire me to be pegging at all 10s on my meters on the field.
Interesting. What is it about Tom Herman? Was it the P chart that didn't grab you?
Well, listen, Mark, maybe I have my own P chart. Maybe the P chart is the least of my concerns.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm taking a multivitamin that sometimes turns things neon green. So listen, the P chart would not know how to process me half the time. I don't know. It's just there's a certain kind of coach I like, and the model is Nick Saban. And I like a guy that is very authoritative, larger than life. I could see his face on Mount Rushmore of college football one day. And sometimes you get that from Tom Herman, and other times he looks goofy on the sidelines. And I just don't. If I'm a player now, I mean, this is not how players necessarily look at it, but if I'm a player, I just want a consistent, bad you-know-what. That's what I want my head coach to be.
He is Josh Pate at Late Kick Josh on Twitter, 24/7 Sports' National Director of Video and host of the Late Kick podcast, both on YouTube and the podcast as well. What's coming up on Late Kick, Josh?
Well, told you we're going to talk a little bit about LSU. Going to have some more on the ACC schedule. Oh, you'll like this one, actually. I've never told you this story, and I can't do it now because it'll ruin the show. However, I'm not a big memorabilia guy. I got a few things that I hold on to, but I've never been a memorabilia hound. But it has occurred to me that I may have one of the most priceless, or very expensive, at least, pieces of memorabilia in all of college football. And I'm going to tell the story about it tonight on the show. It has to do with a national championship game in the last 5 years. That's as specific as I'll be.
That, my friends, in the business is what we call a tease. How can you not check out Late Kick tonight? Josh Pate, appreciate it, brother. Stay safe and stay well, all right?
Thanks, Mark.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.